Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Brother Sean preached a great message this morning about a thankful heart. We're thankful for that. We want to preach again tonight on thankfulness. And I tell you, it just seems like sometimes we go through things in life, we wonder what we have to be thankful for. Sometimes if we look at our circumstances, we question whether we should be thankful. But then when we look at the bigger picture, we realize we're so blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. If you found 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 16. It says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. We thank you for its precious promises. We thank you for its encouragements, and it's goading us to do the things that are necessary to bring us to the place of being where we need to be. And as we look to these verses tonight, God, help us, Father, to see the necessary requirement that is given us to be thankful and to have thankful hearts, and just to realize that in every circumstance, Father, we can praise you for what you've done and what you're doing. Now be with us as we go into our communion service, and help us, Lord, just to have our hearts and minds set in place for you, to where you'd have us to be, to do what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name we do pray, we say amen. We wonder how it's possible to have a thankful heart sometimes when we're going through difficult circumstances. But he tells us right there, in everything, give thanks. In everything. He doesn't say in just the good things and in just the good times and just the pleasant circumstances, be thankful. He says in everything. Does that mean in everything? Yes, it means in everything. It means in every difficulty, in every trial, in every problem that we face, to be thankful, to give thanks for what we're in and what we're going through. And we wonder, how's that possible? I think the verses here that we've read tonight give us some indication of how we come about having a thankful heart and being thankful for things, because there's inducements to thankfulness and then there's detriments to being unthankful. As we look at these verses here, in verse number 16, he says, "Rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. Even in the hard times, yes, rejoice in the hard times. Even in the difficult times, rejoice in the difficult times. Yes, it's not easy sometimes to lift your voice up and say, "Thank you, God." Lift your voice up and say, "I praise you, God, for what I'm going through." But he says, rejoice evermore. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian church, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice," not just when things are looking good, not just when things are going your way, but rejoice always. See, already the devil don't want us rejoicing. The devil don't want us thankful. The devil wants us beat down. I've got some things. I can't preach as hard. I'll swallow that thing. I appreciate it. I just got to slow down and be a little, let the mic do the work. Amen. But he says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. We're not rejoicing because of the circumstances. We're rejoicing because of who our Savior is. We're not rejoicing because we're facing problems and difficulties, sickness, maybe losing your job, maybe a relationship that's going bad. I don't know what it is that maybe isn't going your way in your life, but we're not rejoicing because of that. We're rejoicing because of who's in it with us, who said he would never leave us nor forsake us, who has never failed us, who's never let us down. When the Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, they weren't in the furnace alone. When old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he said, "Didn't we throw three in? There's four men walking around unhurt and unbound." And he said, "The form of the fourth one is like the Son of God." Do you think he's any different in your circumstance than he was in their circumstance? Amen. We can rejoice in our circumstances, not because of the circumstances, but because we're not in these circumstances alone. He said he would be there with us. As long as we have Jesus, we have something to rejoice about. As long as we're not going through this alone, we have something to rejoice about. As long as we already know our end, we already know the end from the beginning because he's already told us. Amen. He's already told us. Look back in verse number 9. He says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Why? Because we don't have to face hell. Because he loved us enough to shed that precious atoning blood and open his arms to welcome us, to receive it for the remission of our sins. Amen. If we can grasp that wholly, grasp that completely, grasp that fully, then praise God, we got something to be thankful for. Man, if you don't have anything else in this world that you can say that you can be thankful for, I'm going to try this. Now, can anybody here do the Heimlich maneuver? If I ingest this thing, Deb says, "Oh, well." No great loss. Amen. If we can just grasp the fact, in light of anything else, that I don't have to go to hell. Amen. I ought to be able to shout the house down. Amen. I ought to be able to worship, and I ought to be able to praise him, and I ought to be able to come into his courts with thanksgiving and a thankful heart and a thankful life, because irregardless of what happens, I don't have to go to hell. Amen. He's prepared a place for me, and he's made a way for me. But then he goes on to say, pray without ceasing. Amen. Do you realize what a privilege is given and granted unto us in prayer? Amen. We have access to the throne room of God. We have access to the very ear of God. We have someone who's there to listen to us when no one else can be there. We have someone that will hear us when no one else wants to hear us. We have someone that cares what's going on in our lives when nobody else cares. We can call upon the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 120 verse 1, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." How many times have we been to the place where there was no one that we could go to, and we found out that when there was no one that we could go to, we could call on Jesus, and we found peace in our hearts. We found consolation in knowing that we had called upon the one who was listening, the one that says to call upon me, the one that says to ask and it shall be given, the one that has your very interest at heart, the one that cares more than anybody else. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Do you grasp that when you pray? When you call out to Jesus, he hears you? Amen. He don't always answer the way that you want when you have questions. He don't always answer the way that you want when you have a desire and you pray to. But he always hears you. And he always answers you. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is just wait. Amen. But he hears you. Moms talk about it all the time. They think they're talking to deaf ears. I see the smiles going on mom's faces. Yeah, they don't hear a thing I'm saying. Amen. But God does. Sometimes we talk to friends and you can see that it's just going in one ear and out the other. They're, you know, just, it's going through. But it's not that way with Jesus. When we call on him, we know that he's listening. He's concerned. He's interested. And he hears everything that we bring to him. Isn't it something to be thankful for that no matter what you can't share with somebody else, no matter what you can't tell someone else, no matter what's going on inside your heart that no one else will understand, there's someone that does. Amen. So no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstance, there's something to rejoice about. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstance, there's someone that cares and there's someone that you can go to. There's someone that hears. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. There's not a moment of the day that we can not pray and he won't hear us. You know, used to be around midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, when you watch the TV, all the old timers will You young crew, you won't know what we're talking about. But all us old timers, we remembered you got the test pattern. After about 1 o'clock, TV quit. Amen. TV went off. TV was off the air. There was nothing there. You got this circle with some kind of a cross thing inside of it, some kind of a symbol, and you got this, that's all you got. That's all there was. Praise God, Jesus isn't like that. Amen. Jesus has never been like that. Amen. Amen. He was technology before technology was ever invented. Amen. Amen. He was on the main line when there wasn't nobody else on the line, when nobody was up and nobody was stirring. You know, it used to be a time when it come a certain time at night, the towns around here especially, there was very few places open. There's very few people out unless you had to go to work or something. You know, there wasn't all this running around and all this riff-raff out all hours of the night. And yeah, I better quit talking like that. I've been that riff-raff sometimes, ain't I? Amen. I used to work a lot of nights and be out running. Men work for Amtrak and you pull in people's backyards and shining lights and stuff trying to get up to the railroad track. And I've been shot at, cussed at. Amen. We've had jobs shut down, people shooting at us and disturbing the people and everything else, and working through a junkyard one night, and the bullets started flying. We just hid down behind the machines waiting for the shooting to stop. Didn't know what, the guy thought somebody was robbing his junkyard, and the railroad run through the junkyard. We was just working there, amen? You know, there was that kind of riffraff around, but other than that, there wasn't a whole lot out. But Jesus was always available. Jesus would always hear. Jesus is always there. Man, you can be thankful for that. Thankful for one that hears. There's inducements to thankfulness. There's reasons to be thankful. Hey, man. He's given you breath. He's given you life. He's given you something to rejoice about. He understands you. He knows you. He's waiting for you to talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Hey, man. There's inducements. But there's also a commandment. Even if you didn't have all these other things here in this text, you could just take this one verse. He says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Really? Yes. Really? But you don't understand, Pastor. I don't have to. The one who wrote the book understands. I don't have to. The one who wrote the book knows. I don't have to. The one that wrote the book gives us commandment. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. It seems impossible to do, but it's not. Amen? We always go back, and I don't think there's a greater example in the Word of God than Paul and Silas. Beaten, scourged, thrown in the inner, the most secure part of the prison. Not just thrown in the prison cell and locked up. Their feet fastened tight in the stocks. And what did they do? They began to sing psalms. They began to praise God. They began to have a worship. They were thankful. When the apostles were beaten and scourged and told not to go and preach in Jesus' name any longer, what did they do? They thanked God that they were privileged. They thanked God that they were privileged to be able to suffer for the cause of Christ. When the apostle Paul was afflicted in the body and he said, I sought the Lord thrice. And the Lord said, you don't need that healing. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. Paul said, I will rejoice in the fact that I can suffer for the name of Christ. I can suffer and he's going to be with me. I can suffer and he's not going to forsake me. I can suffer and his grace is going to be all that I need. His strength is made possible. His strength is made more powerful in my weakness. Yes, it is possible. It's not easy, because sometimes we got to get over, we got to get past, we got to get through the flesh. We got to get through our faith that is weak sometimes, our faith that gets anemic sometimes. We got to get past all the things that are trying to tell us not to worship God. And what are all those things? It's everything the devil brings along. It's everything the devil places in our path. It's everything the devil puts in our lives. See, he wants to rob us of our praise. If he robs us of our praise and we don't have anything to praise about, we lose something to be thankful about. If he robs us of our joy, we find less things to be thankful about. If he robs us of our prayer life, amen, he robs us of that connection to the glory world, that connection to our God, where we speak to him and he speaks those words that we need to hear in our heart, peace be still. Those words that we need to hear, fear not. Those words that encourage us and help us. See, he never took away a lot of the things from people. He just helped them to go through them. Although he healed, although he opened blinded eyes, although he brought the dead back to life, they were examples for us to realize and understand and to know the power of the living God. In Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about Michael and the devil arguing over the body of Jesus. And you know, I've read it a lot and I kind of never really considered what the big deal was about that. But it was a big deal. It's a real big deal. Because if the devil could rob one body, why couldn't he rob everybody? If the devil could take away from God one saint, why couldn't he take away every saint? If God couldn't keep Moses, what's to say he could keep you? If God didn't have a body to resurrect, as he said over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to the finish, he said, if you go back and read it, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Amen. We have hope. We have consolation. We're encouraged. And he tells us to comfort one another with these words. We're thankful that we serve a God that brings victory. We're thankful that we have a word that gives us an example of God's omnipotent power, His defeat over death, hell, and the grave, His ability to bring the dead back to life, His promise of restoring life to those who are asleep in Jesus, to those who have a corrupted body that has been touched by the corruptible things of this world. And we're all in corruptible bodies, and our bodies will all decay and return to the dust from whence they came. But praise God, I serve the one who said, one day I'm going to have a glorified body. One day I'm going to have a new body. One day I'm going to have an immortal body. One day I'm going to have a body that won't suffer the things of this world any longer. And praise God, because I have a promise of His word, I have the examples of His word, I can be assured that what He says is going to happen. And praise His name. It don't matter what my circumstance is, I want to praise Him. Amen. Because when I cease to praise Him, when I cease to be thankful, I quench the spirit. Amen. Verse 19, he says, quench not the spirit. See, there are inducements to thankfulness. There's a commandment for thankfulness. But there's also detriments of not doing what he said, not being thankful. Man, there's nothing like being around a bunch of people that are unthankful for what they have. Amen. There's nothing like being around a bunch of Christians that have lost their thankfulness for what God has given them and trying to worship when the spirit is so dead, when the church house is so cold, when there's nothing there but the form and fashion. There's nothing there but going through the motions any longer. And you wonder why. It's because we've quenched the spirit. Why do we quench the spirit? Because we lose our thankfulness. We hinder our worship. We hinder our praise. We hinder our ability to do what God says. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, the psalmist says, and he tells us to praise it. In Psalm 30, he says, I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Praise God, he had some things to rejoice about. He was rejoicing in what God had done. He was rejoicing in how God had delivered him. Rejoicing in how God had heard him when he called. Thankful for that. Oh Lord, Thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Then in verse number 4, he says, sing unto the Lord, O you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor His life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want you to know something, saints. I want you to know that when we quit worshiping God, when we quit being thankful for what God has done for us, we quit praising Him, we begin to quench the spirit. When we begin to quench the spirit, we begin to see people die. We begin to see communities die spiritually. We see churches die spiritually. We see Christians die spiritually. Amen. You ever see somebody that was once on fire for Jesus and something happened in their life and they got mad? We got a relative right now, raised in Franklin Baptist Church. Family moved to Virginia, raised in church down there. As she's grown older, she's grown farther away from God. The things of this world had a greater appeal. Short while ago, her son come back from Iraq. He had PTSD, troubled. You wouldn't know it talking to him. You couldn't see. See, some things you can't see. Some things are internalized. You wouldn't know that man, just a fine-looking young man. Loved him to death. She got a call that him and his wife just pulled in someplace. He pulled in, he parked the car, reached down, pulled the gun out, and blew his brains out. Now she hates God. She don't want to hear about God. She don't want us to even talk to her. She don't even want to talk to us because all we want to talk about is God. She don't want nothing to do with it. She don't need that. Why? Because she began to quench the spirit. She lost that thankfulness. She forgot what God had done for her. What God had done for her son. What God had done for everyone. We stopped being thankful to God. We begin to draw distant. Who is the Spirit? God. Amen. You ever have anybody that was real close to you and they've grown estranged? They quenched that relationship. That's what God's talking about right here. Quench not the Spirit. Don't draw away from that relationship. When we fail to be thankful, when we fail to give thanks to God and to acknowledge Him for all things, we begin to forget who He is. When we begin to forget who He is, we begin to forget what He's done. When we begin to forget what He's done, we begin to forget what He's promised. And when we begin to forget what He's promised, pretty soon we no longer care if we have that relationship. See, it's important for us to be thankful, irregardless of what's going on. And I've told you all before, man, it was hard letting go of a grandbaby. But we knew God's will is a perfect will. His way is a perfect way. It's hard, but it can be done. We just praise God that she didn't have to suffer. We praise God she didn't have to go through all the things we've seen all those other kids going through. Thankful that God knew what was best. Thankful that God was willing to accept her. And she's in His presence. Thankful that we know that one day we're going to see her and we're going to know her as she is and she's going to know us. Amen. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. When we lose thankfulness, we don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That's where her cousin is now. She don't want to hear anything about God. She don't want to hear anything about God's promises and about what God has said He could do, would do, and is going to do. When we lose our thankfulness and we're no longer thankful to God for what He's given us, we don't want to hear from Him. Amen? See, some people, that they only want God when things are going good. They only want God when things are favorable. They only want God when everything's what they thought it should be. But when things turn around and the fair winds turn into a gale, when the blue skies turn into a storm, He's no longer Jesus the healer. He's no longer Jesus the one that fed the 5,000. He's, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" They forgot. They forgot. Man, instead of being thankful for who was on board, amen, they forgot. His Word reminds us. The preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, the reading of the Word. He says, despise not prophesying. You know why people don't want to come to the house of God? They don't want to hear the Word. They can use every excuse they want to. Well, we don't like the preachers. We don't like the teachers. We don't like this. We don't like the singing. We don't like, I don't like. No, it's just, they just don't like to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear what God says about their lives. They don't want to see what needs to be changed in their life. They don't want to see what is necessary for them to get back to the right relationship with God, where they have that thankful heart that they can face any situation, any circumstance, no matter what it might be, and praise His name. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. You know what that is? Back in the Word. Back in trusting God. Back in exercising faith. Prove all things. How do you prove something? How do you prove something? You try it. Amen. How do you prove something? You know, in the industry I worked in, they had proof chain. You had different kinds of chains. You got binding chain. A lot of y'all go out here, you use old cheap binding chain because it's the cheapest thing you can buy. And all it's made for is to strap a load down on a tractor trailer. And y'all buy that old cheap binding chain and you want to pull stuff with it and lift stuff with it and yank stuff with it. It ain't made for that. Why? Because it hasn't been proved. You want to lift something, you got to use proof chain. Why is it proof? Because it's proved. And it's been proof that the way that this chain is manufactured, it can lift so much. It's been tested to so many thousand pounds to whatever it's rated at. It's been proved to be able. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Check God out. Why don't you try Him out? Who is it? James said, taste and see that God is good. Amen. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, we don't even want to taste. We don't even want to prove Him. We don't even want to get that close and let Him show us that He can do what He said He can do. He is who He said He is. And He wants for you what He said He wants for you. Amen. Prove all things. And then hold fast. When we're not thankful for who God is and what God does, it's hard to prove Him. God challenges us to prove Him. He challenges us to try Him. Challenges us to trust Him and see that He's able to do and He will do what He said He can do. But when we forget who He is, when we lose our thankfulness, we don't want to check Him out anymore. We don't want to prove Him anymore. We don't want to hold fast. It's important that we maintain that attitude of thankfulness in everything. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Why? Because other people are watching you. If we are the church, the true church, the real church, and the only way that people are going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is to read the gospel through your life, do they read thankfulness? Do they read rejoicing? Do they read praying? Do they read loving men and women? It's hard to preach the gospel with our life when we're not thankful for what our life is, where our life is, and when our life is. See, some things we have no control over. It's appointed unto men once to die. None of us know how long we're going to live. None of us have that privilege of knowing the exact moment, the exact instant. None of us know what we're going to face tomorrow. None of us know fully what anyone else is going through. But it's great to know that we have a God that has it all under control. We have a God that's aware of everything. And in everything, we can give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. See, the key to it all is Jesus. The key to our thankfulness is Jesus. The joy of our hearts is Jesus. The desire of our hearts is Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we stand to our feet tonight,